Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this morning is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. This first segment, I'm just going to look at some news items and perhaps check the chat room, see if there's any comments or questions that we can handle in this first 25 minutes of the broadcast. And then it's likely, unless more stuff comes up, that I'll jump back into the destruction of Jerusalem. And we'll continue on that for probably complete that book. So come on over to the chat room if you're listening this morning live. And join us, and I'll check there for questions, comments, whatever I can get in here, and we'll see where the program leads us. Good morning, Dale D. is in the chat room, and Far Out, and that's about it, and myself, of course. So come on over if you're so inclined. If you can't do that, you have to keep working. Well, keep working and keep listening. Okay, well, let's see what we got on our news desk this morning. Well, I did have some comments on a video I did, and I think this was last week's show, but I discussed the beast, the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, and one of my critics said, two horns like a lamb. It does not say lamb-like horn and dragon-like horn. The two-horned lamb speaks like a dragon, and he says, stop twisting. So he's, and that was a comment on the YouTube video there. So he basically slanders me by accusing me of twisting the scripture, and that accusation means that he believes I'm intentionally twisting the scripture to get people to believe something that is not true. You know, not very nice. He could say, well, I don't share your opinion. Consider this instead, you know, like Christian brothers are supposed to do. But regardless, I am entitled to my position on the beast powers. I've done much more research probably than anyone else I know on what constitutes a beast. Two horns like a lamb. It's the earth beast has two horns. Like a lamb and speaks like a dragon is how it is written there. So if I read the two horns of power, one would be lamb-like and one would be dragon speaking in its character, then my interpretation is just as valid as his. As a matter of fact, it's more valid than his because he puts the two-horned lamb speaks like a dragon. Well, the scripture doesn't say it's a two-horned lamb. It says it has two horns like a lamb, okay? And so that's all we have to say about that. And if you're really interested in the beast powers, you should go over to the horeapocalypticae.wordpress.com and click on Volume 3 of the Horae Apocalypticae, and everything you could want to learn about beast powers are in three or four of the chapters there. So you can get a good primer on what the beast powers are from E.B. Eliot. That's at horeapocalypticae.wordpress.com. So check it out. Yeah, it's all there for you. Okay, well, what else do we got? What's in the news today? Well, our president, Donald Trump, has decided that finally, I mean, he's threatened to do it before, and everybody's acting surprised that he's actually doing it now, and that is to withdraw from Iran. That's right, to withdraw American troops from Iran, and I guess Iran is, you go up there, and they're on the border with Turkey, and there's a whole thing. And, of course, Trump did meet with Turkey, and he said some audacious things in a couple tweets that I think you had to be like part of the conversation already to understand. I think some of it was jocular, you know, as joking, like private jokes. You know how we have private jokes for if those that come later don't understand, but they could misunderstand. But anyway, I'm all for it. You know, if Trump wants to withdraw, and I agree with Trump's reasons. He says, look, you know what? This isn't even in our neighborhood. We have 50 states. Western Europe has how many states? We don't know, 30 or 40 states. Let them take care of their own business, and we'll take care of ours. How about that? Why should we, as Americans, be going into debt to take care of business on the other side of the ocean? It just makes no sense at all. So I say, let them have at it. Let them work it out. You got all of those states over there, you know, France and Germany and all the surrounding states that are in the EU. You know, the EU is a conglomeration of Western European states. And right now, of course, the UK, the United Kingdom, is trying to withdraw. As a matter of fact, they're set to withdraw on October 31st. And they say, agreement or no agreement, we're withdrawing, because our people said withdraw. You know, the South tried that in America once, even though, and I guess they have the right to withdraw, as did the United States, that the ones that wanted to be ununited actually already did withdraw. Many of the southern and some western states already did withdraw from the Union before the war happened. And, of course, I think, you know, I've been reading a lot of history in Western Europe, and I see how the shadow government has worked and how it would provoke a war for its own means and ends. And I believe that the same shadow government did provoke the Civil War in the United States. Whatever the surface or visible causes seem to be, there's always something underlying. And, of course, the Antichrist and his shadow government, they've learned from history how to hide under layers and layer upon layer of institutions above them, between them and the effect, that which they affect on the world scene. And so the same thing's going on over there. You better believe that the Antichrist hates the idea of the United Kingdom withdrawing from the EU. I mean, the Antichrist worked very hard to keep the United Kingdom, England, and you know, the British Isles in her fold. And she eventually lost. At first she lost, and then they came back through a lot of machinations and death and murder and intrigue. It's quite a history to read about. And so now she wants them back in her fold, because the EU is her fold. The United Nations is her fold. You know, the United Nations is the image of the beast. The United Nations is the New World Order, because where is the United Nations situated? It's situated in the New World. Its home is in the New World. Okay, so it is the New World Order. That's what it is. And just as she wants to keep America in the United Nations, she wants to keep the United Kingdom in the EU. So I'm all for it. And man, the Congress and the senators on both sides of the aisle are having a hissy fit, because they all worship the beast and its image. And I get President Trump is rogue. I really do believe. Now, you know, we all know President Donald Trump's history. He's a pagan to the core. His sins are probably mount halfway to heaven. Okay. But I do believe in forgiveness. And I see a change in the man's life, in the direction of his life. There is evidence there. I do believe that he really wants to keep all of his promises that he made in his campaigns. I really do believe that, because I see he has tried, but now you can see the open opposition. Watch True News, I believe it was day before yesterday. They did a show. It was very good. As if you open up FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage, you'll see it in the liked videos there. That's the lower right-hand corner. There's four videos there. And every time I like a video, it'll show up there, like videos playlist here. But watch that, man. These people and the so-called Zionists, Christian Zionists, man, they want us in that war, you know. Kelsey Graham wants us in that war. Pat Robertson wants us in this war. And of course, you know, Rabbi Hagee definitely wants us in that war. All of the Zionists, Christian Zionists, which is really kind of an oxymoron. Jesus wasn't a Christian Zionist. Judas wanted him to be a Christian Zionist. But he said, no, I've got a different plan, Judas. We're not going to overthrow the Roman Empire. We're not going to take over the world. I'm going to die for your sins. So anyway, but all the Zionist Christians and all those that worship a certain race of men called Jews, because they've been lied to, I believe. I think they actually believe the lie that the Jews, that nation of flesh out there, they believe that they are God's chosen people. When we know that God's chosen people are those that followed the Messiah. That's right. And are part of the church that he said he would build. We are God's chosen people if we are regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know, listen to my greeting every day. Special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are the supranational Israel. We are God's chosen people. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And yes, a lot of people, it doesn't matter what nation you are. You can be a Hebrew, you can be a Jew, you can be from any country, a Russian, an Australian, an American, a Mexican, you name it. You can be it and be in part of the supranational Israel of God, the church that Jesus said he would build. So I'm glad that Trump, I'm on his side, okay? On this, and if he can do more, because I see, you can see the opposition he faces in his own executive branch, even in his own party, which opposed him being elected in the first place. I mean, against all odds, this man has run and become the president of the United States. I have no illusions about who he is. He is what he is. And, you know, I thank God for him. Okay. I thank God for him and I pray for him. You know, I hope that he really is regenerated. I hope I see him in the resurrection. I hope when Jesus comes, you know, and in whatever 30 years or whatever he comes, that Trump's right there beside us, returning with Christ in his kingdom to exert his kingdom for the millennial reign. That's what I hope that for everybody. Of course, I know that it would be unrealistic for everyone to be saved, but you know, I can still hope it. I hope it for you. If you're listening right now, you hear my voice. I pray to God that, you know, that you will be regenerated, that you will walk in God's kingdom and you will remain in his kingdom through your mortality, and that you will be resurrected and appear with Christ at his coming. Yeah, I hope all those things, and I pray all those. That's why I do this. You know, I care for your soul even though I don't know you. That's that. There's no other reason to do this. I'm certainly not getting rich. Speaking of not getting rich. Okay, so anyway, that's my feelings on that. Let's see, what else have we got to go to in the few minutes we got left here? Let me check the chat room again. Okay, supposedly they performed a sacrifice in Israel. I'm surprised. Oh, well, they've actually done sacrifices before in Israel, but I guess they've done an official sacrifice now that I missed out on. But what do I think about the sacrifice? It's an abomination, man. It's the same thing it was after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. And they tried, they repaired the veil in the temple. Remember, there was an earthquake and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Some of the gates fell off of their, you know, they're mountings, those are heavy gates. And it put an end to the sacrifice and oblation when Christ was nailed to the cross. Of course, they turned around, they repaired the veil in the temple. And they, you know, made whatever repairs they had so they could continue now with what was an abomination, a sacrifice of animals for sin. After God had made the once-for-all sacrifice of his only begotten Son. So that, yes, the abomination, standing in the holy place. That's what animal sacrifice was in 33 AD after Jesus sacrificed himself and put an end to the sacrifice and oblation. Then when they repaired the veil in the temple and they started the sacrifice over, it now became a standing practice. The abomination that maketh desolate, standing in the holy place. It was a standing practice in the holy place. And of course, we know what happened 40 years later. By God's mercy, they had 40 years. That was God's mercy. Okay? 40 years until the desolation determined was poured upon the desolate. As prophesied, of course, by Daniel, the 70 weeks prophecy, and Jesus many times on the ground during his 3.5 year mission there before he made that sacrifice. Okay? So, now any sacrifice for sins is an abomination. Now, yes, you can sacrifice animals to eat. I like steaks and hamburgers and, you know, so I'm all for sacrifice, but not for sin. Okay? It's got to be for the right reason, because we were hungry and God says you can eat it. All right, well, that takes care of that question. Let's see what else we got. Oh, I love this one. This is from LouRockwell.com. Idiotic environmental predictions. The Competitive Enterprise Institute has published a new paper, Wrong Again, 50 Years of Failed Eco-Apocalyptic Predictions. Keep in mind that many of the grossly wrong environmental predictions were made by respected scientists and government officials. My question for you is, if you were around at the time, how many government restrictions and taxes would you have urged to avoid the predicted calamity? As reported in the New York Times, August 1969, Stanford University biologist Dr. Paul Ehrlich warned, "The trouble with almost all environmental problems is that by the time we have enough evidence to convince people, you're dead. We must realize that unless you're extremely lucky, everybody will disappear in a cloud of blue steam in 20 years." I guess we are all incredibly lucky. Or maybe it's just nonsense. We don't need any luck at all. I have God's word. You know, after the flood, he said that seed time and harvest will remain. And it will remain until God destroys the heaven and earth. And then guess what he does? He replaces it with a new heaven and a new earth that is without sin, without death, without corruption. And I'm looking forward to that. Only got like, you know, 1,000 and a few years before that happens. But that's fine with me because I will be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years before that happens. So all happiness for me. You know, it doesn't matter what happens in this life. Of course, I am still in my mortal flesh here and I have to, the decline of age if I live longer, which apparently I seem to be doing. And eventually I will go to the grave and then instantly I will be in the resurrection. Or I will live until Jesus returns. And then instantly, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I will be changed and join those who are resurrected. And we will meet Christ together. We will meet Christ in the air at the resurrection event. See, it's all good stuff if you belong to him. Too many people living for this life and what they can get for this life. Their focus is all wrong. Of course, you got to take care of business here. Take care of your health. Take care of your children. Care for their souls. That's the most important thing. Care for your own soul and the souls of your family, the souls of your friend, and the souls of as many people as you can reach. Care for their souls. And pray for them. You know, even the president, whether you like him or not. Pray for your enemies. Jesus taught us that, so we should do it. Okay, So that, and you know, all the idiotic environmental stuff. They're trying to now keep children out of school, and some event was supposed to start Monday. And I don't think these people, all of these well-to-do children that have time because they don't have to, you know, and young people that don't have to work for a living, that have time to do all of this environmental stuff. You know, protesting and stuff, while the rest of us that are paying all the bills and, you know, we have to work for a living every day. We have to go out and we have to work very hard. And especially if you're truly living and working in God's kingdom, as I am, you work hard every day. You're reading, you're writing, you're broadcasting, you're researching, and it's, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, it is wearisome to read so much too, and to try to write so much. But, you know, and then most people have to pay the bills for their family and want to take care of them. They have to work hard. You don't have time to go out and protest about idiotic environmental predictions. Who has time for this nonsense? Well, not I. Let me check the chat room and see what I'm going to do in my next segment. All right. Well, thank you all for showing up. I'll be back and we're going to jump into the destruction of Jerusalem. So make sure you stick around for that. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.